When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Two Chairs No Waiting, episode number 608, making the whole cabinet a weapon. Two Chairs No Waiting is brought to you by the folks over at WeaversDepartmentStore.com. Drop by over at Weavers and check out the new Loaded Goat long sleeve navy t-shirts. They also have a gray one. Great design. It's from the Loaded Goat Club and Restaurant in Mount Airy. Great, great stuff. Go check that out over at Weavers. While you're there, check out, we got some Goober prints. That's right, some of George Lindsay prints with his autograph available. Go and check out Weavers. And while you're there, check out Mayberry's First, Randy Turner's book that's back in stock. You can get it all over at WeaversDepartmentStore.com. Hey, Two Chairs No Waiting is also brought to you by donations from listeners like you. And episode number 608 is executive produced by Jim Sherrill. So thank you, Jim. Hello, and welcome to Mayberry. Welcome to Two Chairs. I'm Alan Newsom, your host for Two Chairs No Waiting, and it is always fun to be here in Mayberry with you. We're going to be finding out some stuff about making the whole cabinet a weapon. Well, kind of. I just did a play on words. Barney was always making his whole body a weapon in order to stop crime. But, you know, why did he and Andy have that gun rack in the courthouse if he was making his body a weapon? Well, that whole rack was a weapon, I guess, right? So it was full of weapons anyway. Have you ever wondered what type of weapons they were? I mean, you know, what brand, what model, what make, you know, what kind of rifles or shotguns they were, or even the handguns that were used on the actual show, you know, the ones Barney had and things. Did you ever wonder anything about them? So we're always trying to figure out, you know, what kind of siren light was on top of the squad car? What kind of bird cage was Opie's bird in? What was the brand? So have we ever really talked about the rifles and shotguns and pistol that Barney had, what they were? Well, I had a caller that called in this week with that question. And I thought, man, this is a great question. So let's go and hear from him. Here's Terry over in St. Louis going to ask a question about this.
Hey, this is Terry calling from St. Louis, Missouri. You know, I watched the Andy Griffith Show when I aired prime time on CBS as a teenager. This was the era that my older brother introduced me to the shooting sport. Some would call me a gun nut, although I prefer ambidextrous. Well, for what would seem an eternity, I have often wondered what firearms were in the wall rack in the Mayberry Courthouse. Have you ever? About a year ago, I had hoped to find the answer via the Internet. I found several sites that posed that very question, but very few had complete answers. To this day, neither do I. Nobody seems to know. Some are easy to identify, but others are quite difficult. Enjoying a challenge, I was not about to toss in the towel. Now retired, I find myself picking up the gauntlet and being prodded by watching another rack-lading episode via MeTV. How would one begin? Well, not having a decade to watch all 249 episodes all over again, I returned to the Internet. You have to begin by looking up all those hundreds upon hundreds of Mayberry images. And I found myself writing a paper on this very subject. My goal, to identify all the firearms in the series, not only this those in the rack, but even the two cannons. After spending most of 2 weeks of mornings and watching a dozen more reruns, I've ID'd quite a few, more than most, I suppose, and several shotguns have exceeded my qualifications. Remember those episodes where Andy got op-shot by Tom Waterloo's cousin, Karen? Three over and under shotguns were used in that very episode. The first was used by Andy while missing two crows as Karen watched. The shotgun was a high quality example that featured gold inlaid engraving. Now, taking a break from my research, I went to my gun club to do some skeet shooting of my own. After firing around, I inquired, does anybody remember the Andy Griffith Show? Well, here's the reply. Remember, I just watched an episode before coming here this morning. Shazam, I thought. Then I asked, do you remember the episode where Andy got beat during a skeet shooting competition? And here came the reply. You mean the one with Andy Oakley? Bullseye, I thought. He said it was a high-end Merkel made in Germany, and I'm sure Andy could afford one. Now I wonder, what to do with this paper? Gee, I got all this information. Where do you go with it? Hey, that's Terry from St. Louis.
All right. Well, thank you, Terry. And that is definitely something I have never thought about. Now, I'm not a gun guy, so I don't know the correct information. Now, I did realize as he talked about the gun that Karen, Thumaloo's cousin, is shooting. He was talking about, he first said it's over and under, a great example of an over and under. And I was like, what is the over and under? Then I started thinking, oh, it's a shotgun with a barrel, one on top of the other. So they're up and down, over and under. I thought it was over, under, out, over, 10-4 is what I first thought of, but that's not what it was. So Terry brought up some great questions about these different weapons on the show. And I thought it was funny that when he was at his gun club, you know, he mentioned, have you ever watched Andy Griffith? Are you kidding? I watched it right before I came over here. And the guy knew that Karen, Thumaloo's cousin, was played by the same actress that played Annie Oakley on the TV series. So anyway, this is a really cool project, and I'm sure there are some of you that are going to listen to this or watch this podcast that will know answers to this. So I would love for us to start gathering this information. So send me an email when you know one. If you know which episode it was and you know which gun it was, send it to me, and I'll forward that along to Terry so that he'll have this information. Now, I did find a website as I went out there and looking, and I'm sure he did as well. And it's called the Internet. What is it called? I don't know. It's a database for firearms. I think it's the Internet Movie Firearms Database is what it's called. It's IMFDB. And they have a section on the Andy Griffith Show. And as you scroll through the section, it'll tell you about the Colt Official Police, which is a sidearm that they carried on the show. Andy Taylor, he doesn't normally carry a gun on his daily duties. He did, however, have one on TV or not TV. And there's a few other times. And, of course, Don Knotts, Barney's character, it carried a revolver whenever he had a uniform on. But there were several times that Andy did as well. So the Colt Official 38 Special is the gun that Barney would have had. At least that's what this site tells you. And there's some images that they have of like Andy cleaning his gun in Black Day for Mayberry. And you see Andy one time in the High Noon for Mayberry, you know, when he was worried about the fella coming over and Luke Comstock, and he reached up on top of his china cabinet, I guess is what you'd call that, and that's where he kept his revolver. That was a trivia question at one point, too. But you get to see some things like that. You see when Barney, when the convicts at large, remember that, when they grabbed Barney's gun away from him and they were holding it on him at the there on the couch. And you see there's even a picture from the color episode Aunt B Takes a Job where Andy drew Warren's pistol and shot at the fleeing counterfeiters. So there's that. And they've got some information in here about what kind of guns are available. So if you'd like to go and look at that, there will be a link in our show notes to this website. And then there's probably some others that have things. They have some of the shotguns, like the shotgun that Luke Comstock brought Andy was a Remington Model 1100 semi-automatic shotgun. That was in High Noon for Mayberry when Luke Comstock brought him the shotgun. So there's several different shotguns and that are shown on this particular thing. And they even have the submachine gun, the Thompson submachine gun that Barney held when they had the gold truck coming through Mayberry. And Barney was in the back of the gold truck and had the submachine gun. Now, the nice thing about this is they have it circled. I didn't know this. I don't know anything about machine guns. But the actuator knob, which they have circled in red in the images, you'll probably want to go and look at this. The link was in the show notes, is forward, the actuator knob, which means that the gun cannot be fired without cocking the handle back. So you'd have to pull back. Since it's an open bolt gun. So that machine gun that Barney's holding is disabled, basically, where he couldn't shoot it. And both when he's sitting in the back of the car and when Andy is kind of wrestling the gun from him later where he was going to shoot him, the actuator is still forward to make the gun useless, which is a good thing if you let Barney hold it. So that's a great source. And hopefully I'm sure Terry already knew about that one. And there were some other sources I found about this, but if you are a gun guy or gal, you could be like Karen, if you know about some of the weapons like that, send me what you know, if you'd like to, and I'll pass it along to Terry for the paper he's writing. So I'm impressed that he's writing a paper. Wow, that sounds official, doesn't it? So there we go. All right, so the other thing I had for you today, tonight, whenever you're listening, is an email I got from Steve, a.k.a. Bobby Fleet. He wrote, and it's reference to episode number 586 of Two Chairs No Waiting, called Nice Dress Nelly. He says, "Hi, Alan, I listened to your Two Chairs episode about Nelly, where the woman had provided information about Nelly possibly being Marvel Redder Lawrence." That was the name, Miss Marvel. That would be Nelly's, Nice Dress Nelly's actual name. He goes on to say, "I had also found some of this information as I was looking as well, and just wanted to add a couple of items about this woman in later life. After John Lawrence passed away in 1974, Marvel remarried Richard Hughes, is his name, the man she married, on June 25th, 1977, in Carson City, Nevada. Marvel died in Jackson County, Oregon, on March 23rd, 2000. She's interred at the Mountain View Cemetery. The Mountain View Cemetery in Ashland, Oregon, along with her husband, Richard William Hughes, who preceded her in death in 1977. Oh, my goodness. They married in 77 and he passed away in 77. Oh, my goodness. That's terrible. So he said, "I was able to request an obituary for Marvel, but unfortunately, it's just a basic death notice with not much additional information other than the funeral home. I've attached a scan," which if you're watching the video, you'll see it, and I'll read it to you, "that was published in the Medford Mail Tribune on March 25th, 2000. Anyway, so he says, "So I feel this is the woman who played Nellie, but more proof would be needed to know for sure. If there's anything else I find out, I'll let you know. Steve, a.k.a. Bobby Fleet." So thank you, Steve, for that. Now, the obituary basically just says Marvel R. Hughes, 85, of Phoenix, died Thursday, March 23rd, 2000, at her home. Arrangements will be announced by the crematory and funeral home in Ashland. That's basically all it says. So we're still believing that Miss Marvel is Marvel Lawrence is her name, and that she once her husband passed away in 74, she remarried in 77, and it sadly looks like her second husband passed away in 77, same year they married. That is really unfortunate. Poor lady. Anyway, we're still trying to confirm that that is her name and that's who she was, Marvel Lawrence. We spoke with Bruce about it, and he believed that was probably correct, but he couldn't confirm He couldn't really confirm it, but he didn't see any reason that that wouldn't be correct. He believes that's probably that we're on the right trail. So just keep out there and detecting, and you can be Perry Mason on this thing and find out and help find out for sure that Nice Dress Nellie's real name is Marvel Lawrence. Okay. All right. So that is all I've got for you. Now you get to really have a treat here when we go and hear from Randy Turner for This Week in Mayberry History.
Welcome to This Week in Mayberry History, a report by special correspondent Randy Turner of the Gomer and Cooper Pyle Comic Book Literary Guild of the Mayberry Historical Society.
Leroy McNeice was born in Glendale, California on September the 19th, 1940, and is still going strong on the dobro with his newest group, Leroy Mac and Gloryland. As pervasive as folk music such as bluegrass is in the United States, it's hard now to imagine a time when it was not widely known. But the genre really did not reach the West Coast until the folk music surge in popularity in the late 1950s. So growing up in Glendale, Leroy had never heard bluegrass music. In the late 1950s, a friend of Leroy's played him a record by the seminal bluegrass players Lester Flatt and Earl Scruggs. The duo had a band called the Foggy Mountain Boys, whose name, by the way, was parodied as the Soggy Bottom Boys in the movie Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Scruggs, in particular, developed a three-finger style of picking a banjo that was drastically different than the previous clawhammer method of playing. And it was Scruggs' banjo picking that really drew Leroy in. He immediately wanted to hear more of what, to him, was a new style of music. Leroy eventually heard a band called the Country Boys when they won a local radio talent contest. The weekly contest was broadcast from a remote location and not the studio, so Leroy went down one weekend to meet the group. The Country Boys started as the Three Little Country Boys and were made up of three brothers whose surname was White. Eventually, they added a banjo player and became simply the Country Boys. Leroy befriended the band members and began watching them rehearse until it was finally decided that Leroy should learn to play the dobro and join the band. Dobro is technically a trademark term held by Gibson guitars for what is also called a resonator guitar. The dobro is held with the back parallel to the ground and played like a lap steel guitar with the bottleneck used on the neck. After about 6 months with the band, Leroy began performing with them publicly as the official fifth Country Boy. The Country Boys became well known in the area, so it was not surprising that a local booking agent recommended them when someone from the Andy Griffith Show called looking for a local bluegrass band. The first season script for Mayberry on Record called for Andy to play along with a band of musicians while being recorded by record producer Mr. Maxwell. The Country Boys auditioned and won the job immediately. The episode was broadcast on February the 13th, 1961. In the course of filming, Leroy even got a line of dialogue. The Country Boys were heard again on tape listening to a playback, and yet again when being taped for the record of Mr. Maxwell's hotel room. In the episode, Andy had become convinced that Mr. Maxwell was a con man when he learned Barney, Floyd, and others had invested in the record venture. Andy's suspicions made Leroy's line comedic when Leroy thanked Mr. Maxwell for allowing them to buy stock in the project. 10 episodes later, the Country Boys were brought back to appear in the epilogue of Quiet Sam, when they and Andy lead a group of townspeople to Sam and Lily Becker's house for an impromptu baby shower. Observant fans will note that the mandolin player was absent. That's because Roland White's draft number had come up, and he was literally at the draft board while the scene was being filmed. After the end of the first season, Andy decided to record an album that featured music themes used regularly on the show and other songs, including Flop-Eared Mule that he had sang with the Country Boys for Mr. Maxwell. The band was invited to re-record that song, along with some other bluegrass standards, which were included on the 1961 album, Themes and Laughs from the Andy Griffith Show. When getting ready to record their own first album, the band was renamed the Kentucky Colonels to avoid confusion with another band that included the Country Boys in their name. In the mid-1960s, LeRoy eventually left the band and was a founding member of the bluegrass gospel band, the Born Again Bluegrass Band. Not long after this, the Kentucky Colonels disbanded, but the band did have a major impact in the industry, so much so that LeRoy and the other original band members were inducted into the International Bluegrass Music Association Hall of Fame in 2019. LeRoy, who performs as LeRoy Mack, is still an active musician. He heads a new bluegrass gospel band called LeRoy Mack in Gloryland, and happily for fans, also appears and plays at Mayberry events. Well, that's it for this week. As always, thanks for listening, and remember to take care of yourselves and one another, and take Andy's advice, and go out there and act like somebody.
Thank you, Randy, for that great report. And LeRoy, what a great guy he is. If you want to make sure that you don't miss anything that Randy puts out about Mayberry stuff, send him an email at turnersgrade@gmail.com, turnersgrade@gmail.com, and he'll make sure you don't miss out on any of the fun stuff he keeps finding. LeRoy is a great guy. I should say a little bit about him myself. LeRoy Mack, there's a website, leroymack.com. You can go and find out more about him. And there's even Facebook pages for LeRoy as well as LeRoy Mack and Gloryland. There's lots of stuff out there about LeRoy. And I've got to tell you, he is such a, he's just a super nice guy. Great Christian man. Great fun to be around. And is always a joy and brings a smile to my face whenever I get to visit with him. He is a really great guy. He's even sent birthday greetings. He sends you like a voicemail where he sings happy birthday to you, basically. He and his wife, Jan. Great people. So, yeah, LeRoy, miss you. I miss seeing you. Miss seeing you a lot. So, all right. That is basically all I have. But I do need to mention, I don't think I ever said, we talked about Annie Oakley. Annie Oakley, he was talking about her shooting as Karen, the same actress as Gail Davis. I didn't say her name, Gail Davis. And there were some folks in the chat room that know the sheriff doesn't carry a tear gas, no submachine guns. He carries a shovel and a rake in the car. So you don't have to identify those. We don't know what brand shovel and rake he carries as emergency equipment, but I don't think those qualify. Okay. So, and we're pretty sure there's no tear gas, no submachine gun. So we know that's, we don't have to worry about those. So as you watch episodes, if you know what kind of guns or firearms that you see, I'm going to start a page on Mayberry.info for Mayberry firearms. Okay. So we'll start that and we'll start gathering more information and gather it there for Terry. All right. So that's, I think, everything I wanted to hit. I don't think I've forgotten anything. Folks, it is always so much fun to spend time here in Mayberry with you. Just look at some new stuff. It's hard to believe 608 episodes. Still keep coming up with something to talk about. That's how much I love this show. And you must too if you're still listening. It's a great show. Always fun things to just kind of look at and to go into. You know, somebody asked, how long can you do this? I said, I don't know. I've not even done commentary on all the episodes of the Andy Griffith Show itself. So there's another 240 or so probably that I've never done. So I got that many more episodes for sure. All right, folks, I'd love to hear from you. You can send me give me a call at 888-684-8415, or you can email me at floyd@imayberry.com. I would love to hear from you and, just love to be able to talk to you and see. I talked past my music. I have to do it again. I always enjoy hearing from you, like we heard from Terry today. They inspire me. He got me to do the whole episode about his stuff. So if you call in and have things that you are interested in, there's a possibility I might jump right on that and use that as a topic for a show, too. So you can call me or you can email me at floyd@imavery.com. That's it. We'll get out of here. I hope y'all have a great Mayberry week, and we'll see you next time right here on Two Chairs. Good night, guys.